Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We're going to take a look back now at the Supreme Court term that just wrapped up this week and look ahead at how the court might change after Justice Anthony Kennedy's departure in July. In a moment, we'll hear from a conservative. But first, David Cole, National Legal Director for the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, is with us. David, how does the ACLU see this Supreme Court term?
Well, it's definitely not progress. This was a very conservative term for the court, in part because Justice Kennedy, who is often a swing vote, in all 14 of the 5-4 decisions, he voted with the conservatives. And so you saw a term in which the court looked the other way and blessed President Trump's anti-Muslim travel ban, dealt what's possibly a death knell to public sector unions by requiring those unions to essentially provide services to dissenting members free of charge. It failed to address the grave problem of partisan gerrymandering. And it upheld states' actions in purging voters for failing to vote.
One of the decisions the ACLU celebrated was Carpenter versus the United States, in which the court ruled that police need a warrant to get someone's cell phone location information. Why was that decision so important to you?
Well, that's important not only to us, but I think to every American, because it essentially preserves privacy in the digital age. The government's argument in that case was that because you share your location data with the cell phone provider by walking around with your cell phone, you have no expectation of privacy in that information, meaning the government can get it from you without a warrant, without probable cause, without any individualized suspicion, could get it on anybody or everybody. And that argument would end privacy in the digital age, because virtually everything we do today on the internet with our phones involves necessarily sharing information with a third party. So we're very grateful that the court recognized that if we're going to preserve privacy as technology advances, that kind of information, very revealing of your everyday movements over a long period of time, has to be protected by the Fourth Amendment.
When you take all the cases that have to do with elections and voting, the Ohio purge of its voting rolls, the two cases on gerrymandering that left most of the controversial maps in Texas and North Carolina intact, what do you think the effects of those will be?
Well, I think the effects are that the court has failed to step in to preserve voting rights for ordinary people and has opened the door for various types of voter suppression measures, which is what the voter purge case was about, and gerrymandering, in which incumbent legislators ensure their reelection even if the people change their preferences. So democracy is really at stake, and I think the court in the voting cases this term really failed to really take any measures to uphold and support democracy.
So as we mentioned, the big news this term was that Justice Anthony Kennedy is retiring at the end of July. President Trump has said he'll nominate a successor very soon, likely a more conservative justice than Anthony Kennedy. What are your concerns about what that's going to mean for the court?
Well, I think Justice Kennedy, notwithstanding this term in which he voted with the conservatives every time in 5-4 cases, he's generally been a swing vote. He had an open mind, and he was open to persuasion, and he believed in an evolving constitution. And as a result, he often voted with the conservatives, but he also often voted with the liberals in decisions upholding gay rights, in striking down the death penalty for children, and the like. And so I think Justice Kennedy's role on the court was to keep it within the mainstream of American society. There are four very reliably and rigidly conservative votes on the court. If President Trump puts another, then there's a real risk that the court becomes an outlier, far more conservative than the country at large. And I don't think that's good for our country. It's not good for our future, and it's not good for the protection of marginalized groups and individuals, which is what the court's central constitutional role is.
That's David Cole, National Legal Director for the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And now let's get a conservative view. Elizabeth Slattery is a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Elizabeth, from the point of view of the Heritage Foundation, was this a good Supreme Court term?
This was an excellent Supreme Court term. You know, during the campaign, President Trump promised that Americans would be winning so much that we would get sick of winning. Well, at the Heritage Foundation, we're not sick of winning yet, but this week was a really great week.
Many of the rulings were 5-4, but liberal justices Stephen Breyer and Elena Kagan joined the conservatives earlier this month in a ruling that a Colorado baker's right to religious freedom had been violated when he was penalized by the state for refusing to make a cake for a same-sex wedding. Was that decision the right call in your view?
I think it was. And, you know, there are a lot of other cases like this that are pending in the lower courts. So I think we'll see the issue come back up. Justice Kennedy, of course, wrote the majority opinion. And a lot of people were, all eyes were on him in this case, because it really seemed like a collision of two areas of the law that he's been a champion of. On the one hand, the LGBT rights movement. And on the other hand, free speech and free exercise of religion. And so, you know, ultimately, Justice Kennedy felt that he ruled that the baker had been discriminated against and that there had been hostility towards his religious beliefs. But I think we're likely to see this issue come back because the court didn't get to the real heart of the issue, which is this conflict between state anti-discrimination laws and free exercise of religion and free speech.
Are you expecting same-sex marriage to come back before the court if there is a new, more conservative justice replacing Justice Kennedy, or do you think that is settled law at this point?
You know, I'm not sure that I see that coming back to the court. I think Chief Justice Roberts would potentially have some concerns about revisiting the Obergefell decision. You know, there are a lot of reliance interests. There are families that have been built on that decision. And I'm not sure that I could see him voting to overrule it or even to take up a case challenging it.
Another major decision was the court's ruling upholding President Trump's travel ban. Justice Sonia Sotomayor read a scathing dissent from the bench comparing the decision to the Korematsu case that put Japanese Americans in concentration camps during World War II. We just spoke with David Cole of the ACLU, and he said the court looked the other way and blessed what he called President Trump's anti-Muslim travel ban. What do you think of the travel ban decision?
Well, I think the underlying executive order was somewhat unremarkable. There had been clear precedent of previous presidents engaging in this same power. It's a power that was delegated to the president through the immigration law by Congress. All of the countries that were on the list of the 2017, the September 2017 ban, they had already been identified either by Congress or a previous administration as potentially risks to our national security. So, you know, I think there were a lot of passions inflamed by things that were statements that were made on the campaign trail.
Well, by the president. I mean, he had blatantly said that he wanted to ban Muslims from the United States.
That's true. He did make some heated statements on the campaign trail. But, you know, the travel ban came as the result of a worldwide review, multi-agency review. And in fact, there were many, many Muslim majority countries, in the world that were not included on this list.
Mm-hmm. Now, Justice Kennedy leaving the court, the Heritage Foundation helped inform President Trump's Supreme Court nominee list. What are you hoping that the president will consider in making nomination? Do you think that he should pick somebody who's like Justice Kennedy?
I think he's going to pick someone from his list of 25 individuals. It's his not so short list now. And, you know, they are all excellent individuals. I think he's going to pick someone in the mold of Justice Gorsuch, who we've seen this term is fair and independent. He is an excellent judge who tries to get to the original public meaning of the constitutional text before him and engage in reading the statutes according to their text first and foremost.
When you say he's independent, why do you say that about Justice Gorsuch?
I think he's an independent thinker. We saw in his first term on the court last year, he only participated in a handful of cases, and he joined along with Clarence Thomas in just about every dissent and concurrence at the end of that term. And I think many people were thinking, oh, is he just going to be, you know, following along with Justice Thomas? But then we saw this term that he broke away from Justice Thomas in a handful of cases. And, you know, we saw the extraordinary amount of intellectual diversity on the conservative wing of the court, you know, in decisions in the Sessions v. DiMaia case, where he joined with the liberal members Immigration and Nationality Act case. And also there was a patent case where Justice Thomas wrote the majority and Gorsuch dissented. And, you know, it's been really fun to read through his opinions and see his analysis.
That's Elizabeth Slattery, who is a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.